Okay, well, good morning to each and every one of you. It's a real privilege to open up God's Word with you this morning. If you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. So this morning we're going to take upon the subject, which is not really probably new to most of us, but God's design for his church, the body of believers. And I was thinking this morning as we had some gaps to fill, quite honestly. We had a speaker that couldn't make it, and so the elders, as Jack had mentioned last week, have decided to, Doug was speaking last Sunday, and then our brother Jack will speak next Sunday, so to help with the schedule. But, you know, as the elders are responsible to shepherd the flock, that means care, that means feeding. And when we talk about feeding, there's different ways of feeding, right? And so when we talk about teaching and feeding, there are times when ministry can be maybe somewhat new or have a refreshed look. Now, we never add to the Word of God, but maybe sometimes a speaker gives a refreshed look, and we can take that away. There are other times when the ministry is maybe something that is well known to us, and we really need it for encouragement or for exhortation. And then there's other times when ministry is maybe is actually a little prickly for us, and maybe a little kind of hits a nerve for us, and something's brought out, and it's like, oh, okay, I need to be thinking about that a little bit more. And so I would say today the combination of something that is familiar, that is encouraging, but maybe a little prickly to us, which I think is okay. I think that's okay. So let's open up our time in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. We thank you that you are truth and your word is truth. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just guide us in all your thoughts this morning. Enlighten and illumine our hearts, Lord, to your word, to your message, Lord. And that we be challenged and transformed into the likeness of you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to come together under the sound of your most precious word. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you are with me in chapter 12, verse 10, we're going to read through 12 through 27 together. And here we go. The heading I have here in my Bible, which is New King James, is unity and diversity in one body. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would we be hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would we be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one members, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and the members individually. May God bless the reading of his public word. So as I kind of contemplated these thoughts this morning, it's really almost a takeoff of Vacation Bible School 2026. This year is the first opportunity that I've had in a very long time to actually come and be a part of the work present with the body of believers. And I will just tell you, it was a true joy. It was a true joy to see the very beginning in 2026 when a group of people got together and looked at the different ministries that we could potentially do here, to pray over it, to look at it, pros and cons, and think about it, and then come to a selection, Junkyard Redemption. It was a true joy to be able to pray together as an assembly for over 6 months until we came together just a couple weeks ago in July to do that both in the morning and the evening. To see many, many hands working together, young and old and different colors and all differences, but yet unity together. It was great to see the morning prayer time when people came together and earnestly prayed for the salvation of all those kids that were coming in the morning and in the evening. It was wonderful to have on the evening to be able to have young brothers open up the Word of God in the devotional and have a real good, robust discussion time. Many pitched in. Many prayed who couldn't be here from their homes, and we are thankful for that. And it was a wonderful opportunity to see the body work together in unity. And just, I think, that Saturday after we concluded, I think it was our brother Tom Esahak that prayed, oh, that we would continue in that unity as a body of believers here at Mount Ridge. That VBS is always a high. It's always a high. It's almost like going to camp. Camp is a high, right, for many, many people, right? VBS for us as we come together was a high, but we don't want to let that go. We want to continue. And this morning we're going to talk about God's design for his church, the body of believers. Okay, hold on. Okay. So just maybe a couple of opening thoughts here. So Chuck Swindoll, the author and the preacher, says this. He says, few doctrines are more important than this one, the church, because the church is under constant attack, and we need to be good students of this subject. Because we are fellow members of the body, we need to apply ourselves to mutual harmony. And because disease can diminish the effectiveness of the body, we must maintain habits of health and a consistent program of exercise in harmony with God's bodybuilding program. Do you agree with that this morning? I think we all should. One of my favorite pastors and teachers, though I've said this before, is Alistair Begg. And he recently retired from, I think, over 30 years of ministry at a big church in Cleveland. I love his Irish brogue. But he says this, and I actually found ministry almost 30 years ago from him, and I do want to give him credit because some thoughts are coming from our brother Alistair this morning. But he says this, we come to Christ singularly, but we live in Christ jointly, together. Do you believe in that too? That we live in Christ together. So between 1 Corinthians 12, which we're in today, spiritual gifts, it talks about spiritual gifts and Christ's body, the church, and 1 Corinthians 14, which talks about the ministry in the local church, we find what? Chapter 13, right? 13, which is known as the love chapter, and shows us that all ministry gifts must be accomplished in what? In love. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, the Pharisees would ask this of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus would reply, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he would say, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The word here, neighbor, means anyone who is close or close by or whom God puts in your path. So included in this definition are our brothers and sisters in Christ in the body of believers. As you look at the Old Testament, you see that most of the ministry is written to churches, really not individuals. Paul himself would speak and to write to the churches in Corinth, Galatia, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, and Rome. And then we would know in Revelation that John would speak to the seven churches as well. So when we speak of the church, it is really good to recall that the church is not primarily a building or a denomination or an organization. The church is the people of God redeemed through Jesus Christ and united by the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture gives us some great metaphors of the church that are very, very helpful. So we see first the flock. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, we know that the Lord Jesus himself is the good shepherd of the sheep, or the flock. Now, one sheep doesn't make a flock, right? One sheep doesn't make a flock, all right? Multiple sheep make a flock. So when the Lord himself says, I am the good shepherd of the sheep, plural, we're talking about more than one. How about the building or the temple? In 1 Peter 2 and 1 Corinthians 3, we know that Christ is the chief cornerstone. But these verses say to us, living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, one brick doesn't make a building. Even a mess of bricks that are strewn out on the floor don't make a building. The master builder puts the bricks, plural, into the place where he determines. The master builder builds the building or the temple. And then we see the metaphor of family. Ephesians chapter 5. We talk about Jews and Gentiles being of one body. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household. In him, the whole building is joined together. A united family, members of God's house. It is important to recall that when we talk about the body of Christ, we know that Jesus Christ himself is the head of the body. We never can forget that. Never, ever. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the body. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. In our local body, as Christ is our head, our unity together doesn't come from agreement or even preferences. It comes from our common relationship in whom? Jesus Christ. The church consists of different ages, cultures, personalities, and backgrounds, yet we are united under one head and lordship, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are one body in Christ. But let's look at verse 13 first before we actually go into that. So how are we one body in Christ? Verse 13 says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. We know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost, the formation and the birth of the church that had taken place, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. The church, the spiritual body of Christ, is formed as believers are immersed by Christ with the Holy Spirit. Christ is the baptizer who immerses each believer in him with the Spirit into unity with other believers. All believers have been Spirit baptized, and thus all are in one body. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all and through all and in all. So how are we one body in Christ? At the point of our salvation, or our spiritual regeneration, which is the divine work of God, by which a person is given new spiritual life, often, as we know, we call it born again. All believers in him are not only full members of Christ's body, the church, but the Holy Spirit is placed in each one of us. And a good reminder that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 8 is, but you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Just say that last verse, that portion of that last verse again. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's really important to know. Is there anyone here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Spirit of God does not dwell within you. We ask, we pray, that you would come to know him, the saving grace, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you would come to be his, and the Holy Spirit would be dwelt in you, and you would be together, jointly put in to his church and to his body. Okay, so let's look at this body. The body is a unit, single in nature, but it is yet made of many parts. So we see that in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members that are one body being many are one body. Verse 12, go to verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. Go to verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Repetition is good. Repetition is for a purpose. Now let's think about the church. So we can look at the church in kind of two different ways here. We can look at the universal church. Those past, those who have died in Christ, those today who are present, and even future believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son's bride, as he is the bridegroom. The universal church, as we would call it. And then we have the local church. Those in Christ, now put together into one body, into a fellowship of believers, to worship our Lord together, to be taught together, to pray together, to exercise our spiritual gifts together, to action discipleship together, and to serve and live life together in whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. A good little example of this is the moon, and here you have a picture of the crescent moon. Now that moon, that crescent moon, is the moon, but behind that is a lot more of the moon. So really the thought here is that you look at this moon, it's a small sliver of it, but it's still the moon. The local church is still part of the universal church. But when we look at, as Rick prayed, this little body, yes, and maybe in numbers, maybe we are little. And maybe we're this little crescent part of the moon. But that's okay, because we are the body of Christ at this local church, and together in this universal church as well. So when we talk about this local body, verse 18 says this. Look at verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he has pleased. So you can say set, arranged, put together, designed, whatever you would like to say, it's here. That is God's divine intention. That is God's divine intention. God has arranged it. He has placed it. He has put it together. He has put the church and its parts perfectly together. This is not of any human intervention at all. Let me ask you a question. Do you recall, and this may be for some of you going way back, do you recall how you actually came to this local body of believers, this little fellowship called Mount Ridge Bible Chapel? Some of you may have come via your parents years ago. And I think of 1962 when this local church was put together, 1966 when the first service in this building was put together. I remember seeing a photo of breaking the ground here, and Mr. Collette was there, Mr. Whittle was there, Bev Howard's grandfather was there. Did they just decide to come to the hill, to the ridge, to build this place? I think not. I believe they were spirit-led. I believe that there were families that came together that were spirit-led to start a new work on what they would call the ridge. And this would be called Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. So do you recall your story of how you came here? Was it just on your own? Did you look at the website? Did you know somebody here? Did you move into the area and you're looking for an assembly of believers and you came together here at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel? I must say, and I don't know your story, but I don't think it was by chance. I think it was by divine intent. So I think it's good for us, maybe not now, but maybe this week, to think about and take a moment about how did God move us to come here, to be a part of this body where he has put the pieces perfectly together. So if you believe that you are here by divine intention, and you believe that it's perfectly arranged into this body with spiritual gifts God has given to you, do you or do I have a true desire for involvement in this local body of believers here we call Mount Ridge Bible Chapel? You see, if you look at this section alone, Paul uses the term body 17 times. Now, if you have a different version, it could be 18. But it's 17 times between verses 12 and 27. His repetition seems like a plea to the believers to know that without a shadow of a doubt that God himself has arranged the members, the parts, and it's meant for unity, not for isolation. You know, we can easily isolate ourselves from each other. We can do that. And it does cause separation. That separation impacts the cohesiveness of the body. We find then that there's missing out of exercising spiritual gifts and missing out of uniqueness that each one brings here. It does impact our body's fellowship to him and to each other. So let me encourage each one of us that we would be united and guard against isolation. It's not what the Lord desires for the local body and for each member or each part of it. So your place in the body matters. We need each other. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really, really believe that this morning? We're just going to see in verses which we read 15 through 19. Paul speaks to the mindset of inferiority and clearly addresses its danger. You read that the foot feels inferior to the hand. We read that the ear feels inferior to the eye. Now, we all can't be the same, of course, and if we are all eyes, how would we hear the beauty of God's creation and his creatures every morning when we wake up? Or how would we hear God's word being read? We need ears in the body. Could it be possible that some of us feel that maybe we're a spare part? You know, a few years ago, Prince Harry wrote that book, Spare, right? It created a lot of upheaval, right? Being spare to his brother, Prince William. Do you possibly feel that you don't have a place here to contribute? A place where God has intended you to be. Go back to verse 18. Let's read that together. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he has pleased. Each and every one of them. If you are in Christ, you belong to our Heavenly Father in Christ, and you are part of Paul's words, each and every one of them. There are definitely members or parts that are outward facing, absolutely, that's needed. But there are probably plenty more that are quietly inwards facing, tending to people's needs, strengthening others through words of encouragement, praying behind the scenes, serving in ways which may never go noticed. And I say to you this morning, take courage. Because in verse 22, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are what? Indispensable. And the parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. I really encourage you not to feel inferior in any way, because God doesn't see that of you. Because your way and your contributions, they also have very special honor, as the Word of God tells us. Now, interestingly enough, the flip side to that is in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This really speaks to superiority. Now listen, we all can't be heads sitting on chairs. That just can't happen. If that was the case, how on earth would we even get out of here? We couldn't even move. We'd be sitting here all day, right? How would that even happen? Without feet, we can't even move ourselves, right? So we have to guard ourselves from this. And there's a huge impact on the unity of the body that robs involvement of others, impacting, again, fellowship and service and spiritual gifts that may not be exercised for what? For the good of the body. So you see, our place in the body, where we need each other, is really, really important. Because God, again, has placed us together. We are encouraged to assume our responsibility in the body, not pass it off to someone else. Oh, that doesn't matter if I don't do that or take care of that. Somebody else will do it. My friend, this morning, it does matter. And it matters greatly. And I'd also say, when we talk about superiority, we also need to know our limitations. We may need to stop doing things which really we aren't prepared to do or even gifted to do. So we need to be thoughtful of that as well. So this morning I want to encourage each one of us to use the gifts that God has given us faithfully in this local body, and to guard our hearts and our minds against inferiority and superiority. because quite honestly, as we'll look in the next section, that really only leads to division. So the next thought here is about guarding against division, but at the same time, cultivating care. In verses 24 and 25, this leads to Paul providing a warning as well as an exhortation to, again, guard against the division, but cultivate care for one another. It basically says no division, yes to equal care, while we are guarding and we are cultivating. God himself, as we are reminded, has given greater honor to those parts that lack it. And so there should be no division in the local body. Let me just read a story to you about a man had a story that he had shared. And he says this: have you ever heard the claim that the pinky toe has no purpose? You ever heard of that? That the pinky toe has no purpose. Well, he says, I've stubbed my toe on the edge of my bed or bedside enough times, trying to get to bed in the dark, to know that stubbing the fifth piggy can really lay you out. Well, it turns out the pinky's toe value has been proven in recent years. Apparently, loss of the pinky toe can significantly inhibit a person's ability to skip, run, or walk. In other words, that stumpy, sad-looking, finger-like appendage that may not even have a toenail helped you balance when you learned to walk, made your childhood fun, and carries you through every day, your morning walk or your run. It's hard to believe that something that small can be so important. If you lost your pinky toe tomorrow, you'd have to take physical therapy to help you learn to walk without it. That matters. That matters. Everyone matters. Do you think yourself as a pinky toe? You matter. You matter. And we don't want to create division, but we want to cultivate care for one another. Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, that Christ gave specific instructions to the leaders of the church, to the apostles, to the prophets, to the evangelists, to the pastors, and to teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body may what? Be built up. Not divided, but be built up. Built up in actionable love and service, and demonstrated care for one another. And that goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all things done in love. Well, when you think about guarding against division and cultivating care, it is interesting to see the similarities of the physical body and actually how movement occurs. From anatomy and scientific perspectives, muscles contract and pull on bones across joints. The joints act as pivot points, allowing movement in different directions. The brain and the nervous system coordinate these actions to produce a smooth, controlled motion. And in simple terms, the body moves when muscles pull on bones or at joints, creating actions such as bending, straightening up, rotating, lifting, or even walking. So a question for us this morning is, when your body moves or goes into motion, how much of your body moves? Is it one part of your body? Does the foot go first and then the ears never catch up? No, the body moves together. All of it moves together. The leg cannot go itself and leave behind the ear. It must move together. So when the local church moves together in unity, what does that look like? Well, it looks like a demonstrated collective love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the warning in Revelation 2:4 is that we do not want to lose our first love as a church. But what does it look like? It looks like that the local body ministers to its own members or parts, inciting one another to love and to good works. It also means that we are moving together to carry out the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, to evangelize and also to disciple. It means that we purposely meet together to pray, to be instructed, to teach, to have fellowship. And as we come together for the breaking of bread, we see that going back to the New Testament church in Acts 2:42. We are all called into a living relationship with each other. And that should mark us, not divide us, but increase care and love for one another. For our Lord first, that we would not lose that first love, and also to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I know it's really, really small, but that blue box there talks about what's on the purpose for this local work at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel. It's on our website. So if you have a chance, go on to our website. And most of it's actually on the back of your bulletin, if you have a bulletin. But let me just read this to you. As God enables, we desire to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ for new life, to provide opportunity for fellowship, develop Christ-like maturity in believers, equip believers to do God's work, send believers to do God's work in the church and in the world, provide weekly opportunity for believers to remember the Lord in order to what? To bring worship and glory to God our Father. If you haven't read that in the past, take a look on our website. It's there. And that helps us to be reminded to guard against division and to cultivate care for one another. So then what is our conduct as we kind of come to an end here? What is our conduct in the body supposed to be as we looked at these common principles? We are to take our place in the local body, because God has arranged that, has designed that, and has purposed that. Those who commit to be part of this local fellowship of believers at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel, this local body, do so, I believe, because they desire to take their place. Again, remember, it's God's divine intention for everyone here in this local body. We then should desire, but not only desire, but to commit ourselves to gathering when the body is present. We have patterned our fellowship after New Testament principles in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel, all these are fixed points of gathering. They are in our bulletin, on our calendar, they're on our website. And yes, I know we need to increase the amount of fellowship that we have. We've been talking about that. But these are fixed times for the body to meet together. Now, I know we always can't be present together, and that's understood. We don't all live in walking distance to this local building like the Old Testament church would do, where they lived together in a community and gathered very, very easily. That's not always easy for us to do. We do like to use Zoom, don't we, as an option so we can be inclusive for those who can't come in person. And that is good. But let each one of us ask this question of ourselves. in the context of the question, what is our conduct within the body supposed to be? What holds us back from gathering as a body? All of us. Gathering together all parts, is it a priority for each one of us? Another way to say it is, if I'm committed to this local body, am I committed to gathering when the body meets? Now, it's just not about coming to go to a meeting. It's coming together to fellowship, to pray, to live life together. All those things that the local church is meant to do together. I hope that we kind of all of us, including myself, I'll talk to myself first, that we really truly reflect and to personally answer this question. Am I committed to gathering when the body comes together? I don't know about you, but many churches out there, and this is not to disparage any church, but many can be looked at as like clubs. You kind of get a membership, you kind of buy into it, you kind of do what you want to do for your pleasure. You say, I'll do, you know, a certain amount of time, and when I'm done, I'm over, then, you know, I don't need to participate anymore. This is not a club. It's not a program. It's a living body. And we need to answer for ourselves, what does the fellowship or the communion of the body, what does that mean for us? And are we willing, potentially, do we need to make some changes? Remember, we are called to take our place in the body of believers. I'm not saying that. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't take my word for it. Take what the Lord says himself. And then secondly, are we called to obey Christ, our head, to help others follow his teaching? This is done personally within our own personal walk with the Lord, as well as here in the local body of believers. True love for Christ is demonstrated through obedience. We find that in John chapter 14. If you love me, then keep my commandments. Jesus teaches that obedience is the evidence of genuine love. Our faith is not expressed merely through words or worship service, but through daily obedience to his instructions, even when it's difficult. So as we are connected in the body, we can help each other be accountable to God's word and precepts. We can give godly advice to one another. We can confide in our struggles of obedience. The local body needs to be a place of safety, yes, while at the same time a place that honors obedience to the Lord's commands and supports local body parts in true, unadulterated fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then just quickly, obedience brings spiritual growth and blessings. We see that in James 1. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Hearing God's word absolutely is important, but transformation occurs when we put his teachings into practice. And obedience strengthens our faith, deepens our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and enables us to be effective witness for him. It is important to each one of us, every part, that we come together, that we are accountable to our head, as we have mentioned, our Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. And we need to help each other be accountable. When we live our lives together, we are much more in tune of how we can be used to build one another up. And I just think about our dear sister Linda right now, and how we have prayed and prayed and prayed. And so many of you have sat with her and listened and heard her and texted about her brother Robert. You have come alongside this dear sister. You have done what's been required. And that is what our responsibility is, to come alongside and to be doers of the word. So this quote I'll leave you with, it's a quote that I found on a church's website. Sometimes the most meaningful part of Sunday isn't the music or the message. It's the conversations in the hallway. It's the hugs. It's the encouragement and being reminded that you don't have to do life alone. So as we close, our challenge this morning is Christ is the head, yes? And we are his body, perfectly placed together. Every believer has a place of purpose and responsibility. We are all called to unity, not division, love, care, obedience, and shared service together. And this question I leave with you. Am I taking my place in the body, helping others to follow Christ? Am I willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Lord here at this little fellowship called Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel in unity with my fellow brothers and sisters? May the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. This is his body. We want to be members that love and care for one another and are under his headship and are moving together for his purposes. Lord, gracious God, our Father, we pray that you would take these words this morning, not my words, but your words of the Holy Spirit. Encourage us, yes, but maybe even challenge us, Lord. Lord, are we thriving members of this body? Are we taking our rightful place? Are we caring and cultivating care for one another? Are we doing your will together here in this local body? We thank you for it. We thank you for the many years of history here, Lord, that you have put together, that you have blessed. And Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to unite us together in your perfect love and care. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. And we commit this local body of believers to you in the precious name of our head, our Lord Jesus Christ.